from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I want to be here, but you know, when you look up, all the great quarterbacks I watched played for other teams. So my point in saying that is, that's not something to fear. That may be a reality for me one day, may not be my decision. So that's the freedom that I have, is be where your feet are, make the most of it, be confident in yourself, make your team better. I love my teammates, I love that locker room, I love everything about being out here in Oxnard and being a Dallas Cowboy. So that's what allows me to be free and focused and understand that in time comes, who knows what comes.
Dak Prescott, waiting on his next contract after seeing Tua and Jordan Love sign theirs.
What are the odds he is not a Cowboy next year?
I'd say slim. He points out that these quarterbacks move, and that's right. Rarely at his age.
Yeah, 31.
Right, when do they move? They move at 35.
They have 35, 36, 31. 37, yeah.
The last quarterback of his ability to move is what, like maybe Kirk Cousins, and I think Dak is better. Cousins goes from Washington to Minnesota and then to Atlanta. But guys that are at the top, near the top, whatever you think of Dak, they don't move in the middle of their career. It just doesn't happen. Drew Brees is one who moved early.
Yeah. Before he was like
huge.
Yeah.
Yep. Brett Favre, early. Steve Young, early. These guys do not move in their prime. Who is the last quarterback to move
in their prime?
In their prime. Russell Wilson?
Cousins has done it.
Sure.
But he's.
But again, Cousins is like.
Russell, he's fine. He's not like an elite.
Russell
top
Wilson
guy.
Is. It went south fast, so they got rid of him.
Right. Alex
although
Smith.
I shouldn't say that. He moved. Russell Wilson moved Seattle to Denver. Right? Probably a good example of this.
That's pretty close.
But these guys don't often move.
How old was Wilson? 35 right now.
So he was
33, so 2 years older. Yeah, 33 was his last year in Seattle.
Okay.
So 34 was his first year in Denver. So, yeah, a couple years older than what Dak's right now, but not much.
Yeah, you just don't move.
Yeah.
So I would take the bet that Dak is going to stay in Dallas.
Also, it's the Cowboys, right? What are they going to – who are the Cowboys? Who is Jerry Jones as a person? Could you ever in your wildest imagination see the Dallas Cowboys going, even with, they haven't made a conference championship, right, since like the 90s? Like, they make the playoffs but don't win in the playoffs. Despite that, they win a bunch of games every year. They're always in the big primetime windows. They're always interesting. They're always talked about on every TV show that talks football for 90% of the time. They are as relevant a franchise as you can be without winning big. What are they going to do? Draft Bo Nix and then just rebuild? They don't do. They had a 90,000 seat, $1 trillion stadium to fill. Like, aren't they the least likely team to ever reset at quarterback when they've already got something that's pretty good?
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to stay relevant. They don't want to go into mediocrity or, I guess, you know, lower than what they've been for sure and start over. Like, if they're moving on from Prescott, to me it's for a bigger idea. They're not moving on from him for, hey, let's try it out with this 22-year-old middle first-round pick and see if he's good. Let's try. They have Trey Lance, right? They're not doing that. Like, to me, the only way they're moving on from Dak is if they have a bigger idea. And what's going to be a bigger idea available to them than Dak Prescott?
And if they're going to move on from him, aren't they moving on from their coach? And then, like, you're talking,
yeah,
you know,
full reset?
Yeah. Yeah. 803-0550. Bills at practice today. Pads go on. We'll see how the offense goes against the defense with pads on. Speaking of which.
Knock on wood, by the way. All good in the injury front so far for the most part. Pads, a little more contact. You got to wonder about that, but hopefully.
There was – find this here. There was a story a month ago the Bills and Steelers were going to have a joint practice, and that still has not been confirmed by the Bills. August 15th.
Wasn't it in like an NFL release, though, that was discovered?
Yeah.
That they were going to do it?
It's Acrisure Stadium on the 15th. Let's talk about this with Sal, how it's been reported. It's at Steelers.com, and maybe I hadn't seen it. The Bills quietly put it out there. Anyway, that's something else. The reason I bring that up is because of fights.
Yeah.
And will there be fights? This week you've got the blue and red scrimmage on Friday. They also have the Hall of Fame game this week. Like preseason,
yes, right.
Preseason football starts this week. Texans and Bears in the Hall of Fame game.
I saw a tweet that we will not have a Thursday without football until February.
So Thursday night football starts this week.
Yes, and it's the Bills' opponent for next week.
The Bears.
Be 10 days away.
Yeah,
from seeing Bills and Bears on the field.
Bills and Bears.
I am so excited for the preseason. Give me. Your guy, Shavers, give me, you know, Coleman, like receiver in the preseason. I already know I'm not going to uphold to the preseason pledge because I'm going to take every catch. Like, Justin Shorter is going to catch a 30. Oh, there it is. He's on the team. And then Shavers will have one. I'm like, oh, it's Shavers. I already know I'm not going to adhere to it.
Who's throwing the ball in this preseason?
Is Allen going to play more because they're trying to figure out what works at receiver?
That's a great question.
He's already played a little bit, right? Like, doesn't every year he plays? Didn't he play the whole half against Pittsburgh last season? And then maybe came out again the next game? Like, some teams don't play their guy at all. Like, not a single snap. And I think maybe even the Bills did that once. Maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago, there was a preseason where the Bills didn't even put Allen out there one time. Someone correct me. I think that's right. But last year was not that. Last year was Allen against Pittsburgh a lot, and then Allen again, I think, against Indianapolis. Like, he played in the preseason. And now you've got a whole new fleet of receivers. Other than Shakir, no one's caught a ball from him before. We had McDermott on Friday. When we asked him about receiver, what did he say to it? Like, hey, we want to make sure we leave camp knowing what we have, making sure we didn't miss anything. These guys are new, and there's a lot of unknown. And to me, if you're trying to find out what you've got and find out what works with your quarterback, you're playing your quarterback in the preseason. Like, I would guess we're going to see a lot of Allen in the preseason.
Oof. Well, I'll be ready to yell about that when the time comes.
What's too much?
One snap.
Well, he's playing a snap. I guarantee he's playing a snap.
Okay.
He might play, like,
there was a
I might want to put the over-under at like 3.5 quarters that he's going to play in the preseason.
Too many quarters.
No, there's only three games now. Like 2.5 quarters.
There was a preseason he had 3 passes. Then, of course, there was the COVID year where there was no preseason.
And that was his best year statistically.
Yeah, Bills were fine.
Yeah. But now you're trying to find out who your receivers are.
True. Yeah, I think the reps are important for like the middle-tier receivers. You know, and our bet about who makes this team, Shaver's getting a little bit of run here. You know who has done very – correct me if I'm wrong. It's practice 5 today. So
practice 5.
Say what – you know, call it what it is. Do what you want with it. Has MVS – have you seen Marquez Valdes-Scantling name in any – anything?
Not really.
MVS not popping.
Not really. And this is – probably reckless speculation a little bit in a way, because you're just watching on the sidelines and these guys aren't really going against, they're not going against pads yet, right, in these practices. But I have said out loud on the sidelines, like, he doesn't look that fast to me. And what one, who was, it Dan Fates maybe? Somebody did say to me, keep in mind though, he is so tall. Like, I wonder if there's like a Gabe Davis thing here where his
he doesn't look fast
because he strides so long.
Okay, well, if that's true,
because he doesn't look fast to me.
That, without backing this with science, that makes sense, because last year I thought Deonte Hardy looked like the fastest person I'd ever seen because he was smaller and his legs are just moving faster.
They're moving a million, like it's like the in the old cartoons where your legs, like, you don't even see them anymore. It's like a tornado.
Yes,
the Roadrunner. Yeah, so that could be right. That could be right. That he just doesn't look fast, but in action, this is probably how he's got open deep in the past. Like, he's a deep threat. He's a burner, but he's 6'4", 6'3", so that's just how he runs. So that could be right, but I have thought, like, man, and I've got in my head that Alex Gold clip from early in the offseason. Like, he might have lost a step last year in Kansas City, and that guy is a deep threat. So he, yeah, I'll be, this week especially and in the preseason, give me a sign that he's at all a contributor on this offense. Because he's not playing special teams. Like, to me, if he, let me ask you this, if he gets beaten out by Mac Collins on the wide receiver depth chart, just for offense, don't worry about special teams, but if Allen thinks Mac Collins is a better idea to play on offense than Valdes-Scantling, is he making the team? Because then, how much is he ever playing for me on offense to make it worth having a roster spot for him?
Well, I think Hollins has always been on the team. They signed him pretty early.
But on the team didn't always mean like he's going to be playing on offense.
Right.
And I mean, if he's going to be playing on offense, and that's not even mentioning like if Tyrell Shavers is just a gem, or if, you know, Hamler I saw was getting some first-team run too. I don't know if he's actually been doing well. But yeah, I'm wondering a lot about MVS right now. They gave him like 1.5, 1.8 in guaranteed money. Right, it wasn't a lot.
If he doesn't make the team, it's probably, what, less than what O.J. Howard got to ultimately be cut?
I think that's about right.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see.
How are you feeling about your bet right now?
I feel fine about it. If I lose my bet...
Jeremy's bet, by the way, he picked 6 receivers that would all make the team.
Yeah.
No mistakes.
It comes down to the bottom of the roster. And if I lose because Tyrell Shavers makes it, that's a moral victory for me.
Yes.
Shavers is my guy. So yeah. I'm okay with that. We'll see. We'll see. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. I didn't put up that Twitter poll about everybody eats.
No?
Should I have done it?
You think it would come off too snarky?
A little bit. You know, like, here's Curtis Samuel at the top of the hour saying, like, nobody knows who to key on. Not Keon Coleman. If the Bills have a diversity of weapons, nobody knows who to key in on defensively. And I'm not trying to sound like a cynic. This is not it won't work. This is nobody does it that way. Right. Nobody. No team in the league has we don't know who to key in on. Yeah. Everybody has their own version of the number one option. Green Bay is like this model that people talk about because they had 1 year. And Dontavian Wicks looks like he might be that guy. Jaden Reed is their Curtis Samuel because he runs the ball a little bit too. This idea that the Bills will get by with no one standing out to me is not believable. Maybe it happens. If Dalton Kincaid doesn't break out, aren't we surprised?
Yes.
Like, how do you get through a season where you expect to have a good offense and no one stands out?
Right.
I just don't. I don't know that I've ever seen it. Where I would see it, how likely it would be. Whether that's James Cook, or Kincaid, or Keon Coleman, you know, the everybody eats conversation seems like it's coach speak for the players, and it's totally fine. The players are saying it, but I don't necessarily think I need to believe it.
Let me put the Packers over here for a moment. The Packers who went 9-8 last year.
Right.
9-8. I was impressed too by that playoff game. It was it's not just the one game. The one game was super impressive. They went to Dallas, and they beat the living you-know-what out of the Dallas Cowboys at home in the playoffs. Couldn't be stopped. Jordan Love was statistically one of the best quarterbacks second half of the year. But they did go 9-8 and got in as the 7 seed. 5 years ago, they wouldn't have even made the playoffs.
Right.
What's the next best example of what the Packers have done? Because they are the example everyone points to. What's the next best example of that? Team that just does not have a number one receiver, bunch of guys that are all pretty good, and they spread it around like crazy. What's the best example of that? Who wins doing that?
I don't know.
I don't know that I even have a... Who are the teams that have... The Chiefs have never been like that, because Kelce or Hill
have always been
130-target guys.
That's the point here. Like, for Samuel to say they don't know who to key on, if you're the Chiefs, playing the Chiefs, you know to key on Travis Kelce, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because he's that good, and they just work with him. Just, if you focus on him, other things will open up.
Just think of the teams that have had success, even the ones that haven't won the Super Bowl. The Rams won the Super Bowl.
The Eagles.
The Eagles have alpha receivers.
Yep.
Like, stud receivers. Did they not have one when they won the Super Bowl with Foles? Do I have to go back to that? They had what, like Alshon Jeffery and Zach Ertz?
Yeah.
All right. Am I getting closer? Because, like, I don't know, the when the Rams won it, Beckham was a superstar in the first quarter of that game.
And then they had Cooper Kupp
the rest of the way. The Bengals had Chase and Higgins, so they're not an example of this. And the Ravens have gone into the playoffs every year, and Mark Andrews has been a 130-target tight end every year.
Like,
who's the best team that's gone deep into the playoffs that's been doing it like this Packers example?
And again, it's not to say the Bills will fail. It's if the Bills succeed, someone will be there.
I agree.
Yeah, it will be someone.
I would have a hard time believing. Like, who was the Packers' leading receiver last year? Jaden Reed?
That's a good question.
Who led them in receiving?
You had me pull up, when you were talking about the Packers winning in Dallas, I pulled up the box score of that game where Romeo Doubs went for 151 and a touchdown.
151 and a
touchdown? Six catches, 151 and a touchdown.
I mean, the snarky replies are already in my head they won it. They had a number one receiver. How'd they do that?
Well, the funny thing is, there's a clip of Jordan Love going around if he could design the perfect play. Have you seen this?
No.
It's great. Could you design your unstoppable play? It's something they asked of C.J. Stroud as well. Your unstoppable play where you line up and no matter the coverage, you've got something to beat it. And for, I think it was Jordan Love, he included his, you know, the stud receivers, but Romeo Doubs was in his perfect play. Like, I can count on this guy, which is a point about chemistry between one quarterback and the next, right?
Like, yep.
Or one quarterback and then in receiver. So, the number one receiver, who led the Packers in receiving?
Was it
Dontavian Wicks?
No, it was Jaden Reed. It was 64 catches, 94 targets, 64 catches, 793 yards, and 8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, if the Bills have a year where nobody on their team gets to 800 receiving yards, we are all going to be fighting each other after the season.
Well, Josh Allen's going to win.
That is not a good result.
Allen's going to win the MVP.
Without an 800-yard receiver? I think it would be so hard to do
five different receivers get 800 yards. Six get 800
yards.
That's
not really what they did, by the way. Like, on the pecking order went Reed, 793, Doubs, 674, Wicks, 581, Watson, 422. Watson, by the way, it's worth pointing out, missed half the year. So he might have had a number one receiver year. He missed the time when Love, I think, was also, you know, playing great. So that's worth mentioning here. And then they had two tight ends that had, like, 350. I mean, that's just spreading it to five guys. That's like eight guys that are all involved in the offense.
And part of the reason their numbers are like that because the first eight games did not go very well. The Packers, here's
I want to know. I want to split up their season too. Like, did they get good when somebody emerged? Did Jaden Reed do better in the second half of the year?
Yeah,
I don't have that.
Another point on the Packers is they were having the kind of season where they traded away Rasul Douglas. Because
that's right, they did do
they
that.
They traded Rasul Douglas at the deadline because we'll take a draft pick for this starting corner.
Right.
And then they, you know, found a gear.
Yeah, they won six of their last eight games. So maybe is that around when they traded Douglas that they would have had, they would have already had, what, six losses?
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, we're, like, I'm not saying it can't work either. I just think you're trying to fit. You're trying to throw a dart and hit the bullseye, and I feel like you can't miss that much because you don't have the top guy, unless somebody emerges as the top guy. Yeah, I'm the 100-plus target stud player that I think we all think Kincaid's probably going
to
be.
I'm inclined to think that this is all for the Bills, and Brady is going to work. The question is, you know, how well it works, and someone will. I mean, I'd be bullish on Samuel. Coleman's starting to – I mean, Coleman is exciting. I mean, I think he's exciting. 803-0550. Around the league stuff. So we mentioned the Tua contract and the Jordan Love contract. Tommy DeVito, there's a great story here from the Giants.
Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, Tommy DeVito.
Still going with the Giants?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
He apparently told the New York Post, I'm very aware of how they operate in this organization. It's up to them to make the decision to make that gamble. I'm going to continue to play. We'll see how everything unfolds. If they decide to cut me and I get scooped up, I don't get to make that decision afterwards. Somebody grabs me and say, no, I want to stay here. It's everything for the front office. So DeVito's saying it's up to them if they want to make the gamble of losing me.
Third-string quarterback Tommy DeVito is, what, daring the Giants?
The Giants to cut him.
Daring the Giants to cut him?
Yep.
He had, like, in a brief 15 minutes of fame,
he
right?
He did.
He had a couple good games, right?
He had a decent game, and then his agent showed up on the sideline in a costume.
His agent was maybe the bigger star than he was.
Yes.
Because he looked like he was straight out of The Sopranos, basically. Yeah, I'm looking at his games last year. You know what it was? He ran the ball. He had a game where he ran for 71 yards and they beat Green Bay. he had a couple of pedestrian games in a row, but would run it.
We're a little light on viral catches, aren't we?
We are.
I saw the viral catch.
Coleman counts, right? Coleman count?
Yeah.
That didn't go. Does viral have to mean Buffalo viral, though, or like NFL National. Viral?
NFL viral.
Because I don't think that catch went NFL viral.
I don't think so either. The viral catch counter. Of course, we got a big one from Xavier Worthy on that throw from Mahomes. Keon Coleman had an entry. I saw a couple neighbors' catches over the weekend. There's one highlight from Giants camp
where
neighbors torched the defense deep and then had to field the Daniel Jones throw like it was a punt.
Yeah. There was another Worthy one yesterday.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, there was another one, like touchdown. He, like, jumped in front of a guy and made the catch. That was the only one I think I saw, though.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're light on it. Where are our big highlight reel one-handed catches? Where are my Diggs catches?
I got
the only highlight I've seen from him in Houston is when the whatever his name tried to take his head off.
There was one yesterday. There was a close-up.
By Diggs?
Diggs working on a guy, crossing over and making a catch.
I feel like we might still only be at one viral catch. That first Worthy one.
All right, today's a big day. Pads are on.
Pads are on. We need Coleman to go up top and make the Beckham catch.
Moss a guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Over Douglas, over whoever. It doesn't matter who it is. Moss a guy.
Matt Parrino joining us when we return. He had the Shout podcast with Ryan Talbot. We'll see what he's seen, his observations from training camp so far. Day 5 on the way today. I smell sunscreen.
I also just smelled it. It's a coconut.
Yeah, going to need it today. It's going to be a hot one here from Fisher with pads. Jeremy and Joe on WGR from St. John Fisher University coverage of training camp. Bills training camp brought to you by Edmar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and brought to you in part by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's a place to buy a case, what's your outlet, and by your Western New York Ford dealers and the All-Pro.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Purpose, affordable, Ford Bronco Sport.
It's a growing process, like anything, and let's go back to when Micah and Jordan both signed in 2017. It was a growing process then, and there was a lot of growth that had to happen. All we could do as coaches is continue to stress and reiterate the importance of the communication, you know, and they are the quarterbacks of the defense, and really, a lot of guys are doing and playing the way they tell them to play. So it's definitely a process, but this whole thing's a process, right?
Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich. We will talk to him here at St. John Fisher tomorrow morning. So stay tuned for that tomorrow morning. 9 o'clock segment. We'll talk with Bobby Babich, the Bills' new defensive coordinator. Joining us now, Bills beat reporter of Syracuse.com, Matt Perino, also the co-host of the Shout podcast with Brian Talbot, friend of the show, baseball coach.
You do MMA expert.
Yes, you do everything.
When are we getting MMA in the Olympics, by the way?
Ooh. That's a great question.
Shouldn't that happen?
It should happen already. Although, you know who would be probably vehemently against it is probably Dana White. Because, like, you know, they like to have an event every other day these days.
Yes.
So I don't know if he'd be down for that. Speaking of the Olympics, I was thinking about this yesterday, watching LeBron at 39 years old just absolutely dominate. Are we at the point where what he's doing is more impressive than what Tom Brady did at 45 because of the sport that he plays?
The fact that he is still, maybe the way he's doing it, yeah. Like, he's 5 years younger than Brady was when he stopped.
Right.
But LeBron is still flying through the air, dunking the ball, and, like, with force, you think the thing's going to come down.
Right. I wonder how many hits Brady took in that final year. The final year may be a lot, but the Super Bowl year.
No, the final year, it was like he got the ball in, like, half a second every play.
Right.
It's a fair point. He didn't have to run that much. He probably ran a collective mile in a year.
Yeah, I feel like Brady figured out how I can play this sport forever and just not take hits. LeBron is out there doing the whole sport.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not defending as hard as he used to, but he's doing the rest of it.
I like the question, though.
Yeah,
it's amazing
good.
Because I don't think we've ever seen a guy with so much expectation deliver and stay available the way that he does. Like, I was watching a clip, Jeff Teague. Was back on those Atlanta Hawks teams, played against them in the playoffs, and he was at a podcast, and he said, dude, I watched him one time completely rip up his ankle. Like, I'm like, oh, it was in the playoffs. We're good. We're winning this game. 5 minutes later, he's taped up back in the game, playing harder and better than he was before the injury. He's just, like, unbelievable.
Yeah. LeBron. U.S., when's their next game? They beat Serbia. They covered. They beat Serbia, you know. They had that scare against South Sudan. I think might have scared some people off. But
they lost that one by 1 point.
They beat by,
one. It feels like they lost by 1 point. They won by 1 point. Their next game is going to be – hold on. I got to scroll down here on their schedule. 31st.
Okay.
So Wednesday.
Wednesday
at 3 o'clock Eastern. Against South Sudan again.
Oh. Revenge.
A rematch.
Revenge game.
Yep.
All right. Then the Hall of Fame game is going to be on – Thursday. First football game, first preseason game. All right, Matt, so day 5 of camp, pads go on. Would you say, in your experience watching camp, like, the first few days are fun and all, but, like, today is a different kind of first day of camp? Is it really a different level when pads go on?
I'm so excited for today because the first 4 days are adding in that caveat, well, the pads haven't come on yet, for everything that we talk about when we see out there. So now everything transitions to what I think is real tangible things for fans to put some stock into. And I'm not saying, like, you know, we can talk about Tyrell Shavers. We can talk about Curtis Samuel and Dalton Kincaid in the camps that they've had so far. And that's not nothing, especially in some of those one-on-one situations when they're working against, you know, what I think is one of the top cornerback tandems in the league at this point in Benford and Rasul Douglas. And Benford's been feisty this week, man. Like, I really like the way that he kind of set the tone early in camp, even before the pads come on. And you need a couple guys like that. But today, we saw the first kind of camp fight yesterday. It was very brief. Today's the day where I feel like if you got a ticket today's practice, you're coming into this to these bleachers just
getting your
with
money's
camera
worth.
ready to go, because anything can happen, and it's real football.
Will the offense celebrate as much as they have now the pads are on? Because if the defense is going to be more upset, there's been a lot of celebrating from the offense.
There has been, and I do think it's going to get competitive because, man, is Bobby Babbage, you just mentioned having him on tomorrow morning. Maybe one of the things you got to ask him is, like, do you ever, like, get out there, react to a play, and then look around and you're in the middle of, you know, the melee, and you're like, oh, man, I'm really out here in this thing right now, and, like, maybe I should just dial this back a little bit. The energy is good, and the guys feed off of it on both sides, for Brady, too. But that's a good point. What's it going to be like now that you can really hit people?
Yeah. Matt Perino joining us here from St. John Fisher on Bobby Babbage. We'll talk to him tomorrow. You know, McDermott talked about the two of them will have play-calling sessions during training camp, and I'm not sure how much of a difference it really makes who is the defensive coordinator. That's kind of something to figure out during the year. But your impressions of Babbage to this point as one of the main voices of this defensive staff?
So I think the first thing for me is, like, how do you stay on task out there in that, like, the way that he is? He's so energetic. He gets himself kind of worked up in certain plays. Well, now as the defensive coordinator, you can't just go back and hide into, not hide, but, like, back into the background with your position group. Now you have an entire unit to lead. So, like, how do you manage the energy and all the juice that you're bringing while also trying to run the defense in those call it sessions? And I think now that the pads are coming on, those call it sessions are going to be even more important for him. I'm going to see if anything changes for him. I don't think I've ever come to a camp so interested in watching the coordinators and how they go back and forth. And Joe Brady even mentioned it when we talked to him. They, like, juice each other up with the way that they are out there. I've liked the way that people have spoken about Bobby Babbage. He hasn't done it yet, but it's like he's different than Brady in the sense that he's got McDermott in his back pocket, right? Like, if this doesn't go well at any point, we've seen what this defense can do if McDermott's calling it. And I think he brings, you know, the energy, if you will, and if they have to go back to McDermott, the play caller, that's always what they can do.
Right, the play calling will be interesting. It feels like, though, just the difference between a couple of years ago, like the vibes, like not the vibes even, but just like Leslie Frazier on the field coaching a defense versus Bobby. Like, I don't know that the results will be any different, but you just see how different they are as people because of the age difference. And Babbage is out there, he's yelling, like not in like in a bad way all the time, but he feels like he's drank three Red Bulls before he goes out on the field.
Yeah, and I think that, like, if you go back to 13 seconds is the easy example, but that era of Bills defensive football, that bend but don't break, that, like ultra conservative style that they kind of played and was work, and it worked for the most part. I think the shift to Babbage is also another deposit into the chaos that I think Sean started to create last year. You know, putting in the dime look, the way that they were so much better at the front in the first few months of the season. So I'll be interested to see if, you know, how much Babbage has his fingerprint on all of that.
Yeah, and maybe, I wonder, like, Vaughn, of course, will be a big part of this too. Last year, when maybe they were going through their injuries, this started happening, they blitzed a lot more as the season went on. Mm. And maybe actually that was even the year before that happened too, when Vaughn got hurt. Mm-hmm. That once it became clear, hey, we can't generate a natural pass rush as much as we want, they started blitzing more and got more aggressive. And maybe that'll be dependent on, like I said, Vaughn and what they have from Smoot and the defensive ends for how aggressive they want to be. Because I still think, you know, coverage can be different. Still think in theory, you want to have just four guys that's all I got to rush and then I can get pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, I also think it was the realization that you have a guy in the middle in Terrell Bernard that's like the strength of his game as a blitzer. Mm. Like, I remember when he's coming out of Baylor and Sean McDermott talking about the conversations he had with his coach, and he said, I've never seen a linebacker so, like, naturally, like, pivot from coverage to blitzing the way that he did. And that's something that I thought, okay, you can lean into that if you're willing to start deploying these guys in that way. Like, wasn't Tremaine Edmonds one of the things that people always talked about for years was, like, why don't they blitz him more? Why don't they try to get him in the backfield more? And I think now that they're just, like, they're throwing stuff at the wall more than ever. And I think part of it for Sean McDermott is, like, he's very comfortable. You know, we do these things on these national radio shows all the time. Like, where's the – how hot is Sean McDermott's seat, right? We do this conversation all the time. And trying to explain to them how cool it is, it's like eyes are popping out of the head. But I will say, internally, I do think Sean McDermott is smart enough to know that any year now with a real, like, face plant, the conversation changes a little bit, right? And so – I do like, you know, he brings in John Perry. He's being a little bit creative with how they change the defense. The way that they're shifting offensively, like, they're willing to evolve. They're willing to change. They're willing to try new things. And I think that's important as you're getting into Marvin Lewis territory. And I know fans don't like to hear that. But, like, each year that they go to the playoffs and have some success and it doesn't end in a Super Bowl, the more that conversation picks up.
Yeah. If nothing else, like, Marvin Lewis didn't win any games, right? Lost every first-round
game.
McDermott, you know, he's got his playoff wins, but if there's, you know, it's funny, like, we can't always talk Super Bowl or bust with this team.
Right.
Like, what does this team need to do to kind of silence some of those doubters that they maybe have earned, or McDermott has maybe earned along the way? He needs a playoff win over somebody really good. Because the last couple have been...
Andy Reid?
Yeah. Yeah. Or, I mean, let's be real. Or
a quarterback is maybe
– or Lou Anarumo. Cincinnati.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
The quarterback is the way to say it, too. Their last couple playoff wins, Mason Rudolph, Skylar Thompson.
Right.
Like, he got one against Lamar, and that's a pick six that makes a difference. To really talk about the Bills taking a step forward, it doesn't have to be winning the Super Bowl to me, but some kind of signature defensive performance would really do a lot for him, I think. Because the Bengals get those. Steve Spagnuolo gets those now with Kansas City. And for Sean McDermott, who I do think is one of the better defensive coaches in the league, I need him to have a great postseason sometime soon.
Yeah, and I think that the one thing he has going for him, and the Bills do, is they're just playing in the era of Mahomes. So if you do break through and you win in this era when no one else has really truly been able to, you have the Bengals the 1 year, but they couldn't close the deal.
Yeah.
So it doesn't count. And so I think, like, their position now with the new look of what they're going to be offensively, to maybe force teams to adjust to them for a change, as opposed to them always being the one to adjust. You know, they've had to adjust to the Chiefs, right? It was Tyreek Hill. That was the storyline for years. How are they going to stop him? Then they pivoted. All right, this is the time now. There's not enough weapons for Patrick Mahomes. It still hasn't worked. So I think maybe the change that they're having, I heard you guys talking about it a little bit in the car when I was going to get Tim Hortons, about, you know, this idea that they don't need a number one weapon. And I do think the way that you framed it is really important, because I've been arguing for, like, the fact that I like what they've done in that there's no definitive one. But I do think, I agree, like, at the end of the season, there's going to
be a one. So, funny, I don't know every historical example, but Ed tweeted to me and said, the Giants, and I actually went down a rabbit hole here, not that deep, but he basically said, like, the Giants beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. They didn't have a number one. Mm. So I went to look. The first time they beat the Patriots, Plaxico Burress was 140 targets and a 1,000-yard receiver. And the second time the Giants won, they had two 1,000-yard receivers.
Right.
Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks.
Right.
Oh, Hakeem Nicks had a couple years.
And the point there is, I'm not saying they have to be this established top tier, but someone will come out of it.
Right.
You can't be as good as the Bills probably envision being without somebody showing up and being Hakeem Nicks.
Right.
Or Victor Cruz, who had, by the way, 1,500 yards that year that they won the Super Bowl.
1,500 yards.
1,500 yards for Victor Cruz. So, yeah, I'm eager to see how it plays out, because I think there's definitely, I mean, Shakir and his efficiency and his yards after catch, and he's shown to be a real bright spot. And Samuel, there's a lot of people like a lot about his game. And Coleman, you know, there's definitely something to catch your eye there as well. So I think they've got three really solid options. And I think one of them, along with, of course, not even mentioning Kincaid, like, somebody's going to pop.
Right. I'm high. wording it this way makes it seem like a knock on Shakir, because I'm as high on Shakir as anybody, but I'm highest on Samuel because of what I think how they're going to use him. And I think, like, you go back to his early years in Carolina, he played the majority of snaps on the boundary. And now I know when he was with Joe Brady, that changed, and he went more into the slot, and they like to use him as this running back. I don't know if his body type is, you know, meant to hold up in that role, like, predominantly. And also, who's the best example of in the NFL that we have of this? It's Deebo Samuel, who cannot stay healthy every single season. So I don't think, like, I think you have to be a little bit more creative with that. Are they going to use him out of the backfield? Of course. I mean, that's, why wouldn't you? When you have speed like that, when you can get the ball in a guy's hands, go ahead and do it. But I think he's going to surprise people in the way that he can win as a route runner on the outside.
Yep.
And I like him and Coleman opposite and keeping Shakir in the role, which he was so good in a year ago.
We asked this either last segment or segment before. Are we seeing anything from Valdes-Scantling out there that's worth mentioning?
I saw one catch, but it was from Mitchell Trubisky.
Okay.
It was a really nice bullet of a pass. And I actually had a double take because I thought it was Josh that threw it.
Yeah.
People give me grief on my show that, like,
you can't tell the difference?
No, like, every time I talk about Mitchell Trubisky, I'm, like, gassing him up or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, like,
Trub stan?
I don't know. Whenever he makes a play, I just talk about it. So, like, and listen, it's nice. If you're the Bills, how nice is it to have a former second overall pick as your backup quarterback who can make some really good throws in practice? But as far as MVS goes, like, what's the selling point? That he's built for December and January, right? Yeah. But, like, you got to get there.
This reminds me a little bit of Crowder. When Crowder was here, not much going on in camp. He was hurt. He was banged up. We talked about Sal earlier. But he still made the team. Then he got hurt and was gone forever. But the point was there was a level of respect for what he had done. Mm-hmm. Almost like he didn't really have to prove it in the same way.
Right.
And I wonder if MBS has any of that working for him.
Sean loves that. Sean loves the what do they call it? The heads on the wall? What's the phrase? I can't remember.
I can't either. That's
when you got the, you know, deer heads on the wall.
Sure.
Whatever it is.
Okay.
Sorry. They say it all the time.
I know what you mean. I can't think of what it is either, though.
I can't think of what it is.
I had heads on spikes in my head for some reason, but that's not what
Did you watch Game of Thrones recently?
The new one, House of the Dragon.
Okay.
Don't tell me what happened last night, though.
I won't. I've watched the season at all.
Okay.
But he likes that. Like, it's one of the things that, like, he positioned Vaughn in the locker room after he got hurt to have team meetings where he's talking about, like, you know, tales of Super Bowls past. And so I think bringing that into the locker room is one of the reasons they signed him. There wasn't a huge market for MVS. Like, I don't think teams were banging down his door to bring him in for what he does on the field. I think they like what he does down the stretch, but I don't think you make this team because of what you potentially could do in January.
Matt Parrino of Syracuse.com and the Shout podcast as well with Ryan Talbot. All right, we'll let you go. Get to practice. Stay cool. Stay hydrated. It's going to be hot today.
I will.
And tomorrow.
I will. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Back in a moment, Jeremy and Joel from St. John Fisher here on WGR. Steve Tasker going to join us on the other side. We'll chat some special team stuff as we gear up for day five of practice at training camp. Pads going on today. Carl Jones just walking by, newly at Channel 2. I should just shout out, Carl, tomorrow, Thursday. He didn't hear me. We got to get Carl Jones. Rochester guy moving to Buffalo, going to Channel 2. Thrilled to have him in Buffalo, and I'm going to track him down on the field out there when we get out there for practice today at 9:45. Fully padded practice. How about Matt Parrino selling the idea? If you're here today, you can pick the good one. It's going to get spicy.
Yeah.
First day with pads.
Just stay cool.
We're going to break in Steve Tasker, Bills legend Steve Tasker, joining us on the other side as we broadcast live from training camp here at St. John Fisher University.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Heads on the wall. What's the phrase? I can't remember.
I can't either. That's
when you got the deer heads on the wall.
Sure.
Whatever it is.
Okay.
Sorry. They say it all the time.
I know what you
mean.
I can't think of what it is either, though.
I can't think of what it is.
I had heads on spikes in my head for some reason, but that's not what.
Did you watch Game of Thrones recently?
The new one, House of the Dragon.
Okay.
Don't tell me what happened last night, though.
I won't. I'm not. I've watched the season at all.
Okay.
But he likes that. Like, it's one of the things that, like, he positioned Vaughn in the locker room after he got hurt to have team meetings where he's talking about, like, you know, tales of Super Bowls past. And so I think bringing that into the locker room is one of the reasons they signed him. There wasn't a huge market for MVS. Like, I don't think teams were banging down his door to bring him in for what he does on the field. I think they like what he does down the stretch, but I don't think you make this team because of what you potentially could do in January.
Matt Parrino of Syracuse.com and the Shout podcast as well with Ryan Talbot. All right, we'll let you go. Get to practice. Stay cool. Stay hydrated. It's going to be hot today.
I will.
Yeah. And tomorrow.
I will. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Back in a moment. Jeremy and Joe from St. John Fisher here on WGR. Steve Tasker going to join us on the other side. We'll chat some special team stuff as we gear up for day five of practice at training camp. Pads going on today. Carl Jones just walking by, newly at Channel 2. I should just shout out, Carl, tomorrow, Thursday? He didn't hear me. We got to get Carl Jones. Rochester guy moving to Buffalo, going to Channel 2. Thrilled to have him in Buffalo, and I'm going to track him down on the field out there when we get out there for practice today at 9:45. Fully padded practice. How about Matt Parrino selling the idea? If you're here today, you can pick the good one. You're going to get spicy.
Yeah.
First day with pads.
Just stay cool.
We're going to break in Steve Tasker, Bills legend Steve Tasker, joining us on the other side as we broadcast live from training camp here at St. John Fisher University.
From the mind of a 2-foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.